Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. How are you doing? It is May 19th, 2022. Beautiful day here on the Delmarva. I think we finally have beat winter. The transition, I think, has happened. I can't see us going back too much in the cold, but it's a beautiful day. A little windy, but no big deal. Yesterday, I was off. A lot of interesting stuff going on in my life right now. On top of the fact that, you know, everything is fantastic. You know, we've been struggling a little bit with our daughter, who's sort of going through, you know, a bit of a rough patch with friends. You know, fourth grade can be brutal. And just trying to kind of pick our way down the path of trying to be, you know, a place where she can come and talk to us and learn how to listen and try to figure out how to give good advice. It's tough. And it breaks your hearts to see your children, you know, being picked on or bullied. I was bullied. I never really gave it that much power at the time. But looking back on it now and kind of going through my life and just looking how, you know, the path has gone the way it has, I realized that the bullying was actually a big deal. This kid used to throw shit at me on the bus. I mean, tormented me. I mean, they were like spitballs. I mean, he would probably shove a whole damn piece of paper in his damn mouth and throw the whole sloppy thing at me. And, you know, I'm sure he thought it was funny. I think we've all been in positions where we've done things to people and we thought was funny, not really understanding the damage emotionally, hopefully not physically, but emotionally that we were doing. And you know, and that's what was going on with me, and it was awful. I didn't want to ride the bus. I didn't want to go to school, and then my dad got involved. You know, one of those moments where your dad comes to the bus stop and tries to, you know, bring the two of you together, the bully and the bullier, the bullied and the bullier. I don't know how you say that, but, you know, why don't you come down and hang out? You know, we'll, you know, play soccer in the backyard, and I'm sure Jamie B was his name. I won't give his last name, but he... You know, oh, yeah, sure, sure. And then when my dad walks away, he's like, oh, you had to tell your father. And I'm like, oh, my God. Right? OMG. And but it was very, very brutal. And, you know, I skipped school. I stopped going to school. I remember when he went up into the next grade, how glorious it was. I think he was a grade ahead of me. So I think eighth grade was glorious because he was not on my bus. But then ninth grade started and it all picked up right where it left off. And I'm like, fuck this shit. I am not doing this. And skip going to school. It was just, it was, you know, the innocence of it all and the traumatic reaction from me, you know, it was brutal. And to hear that, you know, another girl is picking on my daughter, you know, just took me back. And, you know, it's just sad. And so we're trying to figure that out. But what I told her is I listened, you know, every day something changes, right? I mean, one week you're being picked on, the next week you're best friends. I mean, this kind of happened a little bit last year with this girl, and then, you know, this year all of a sudden they're best friends. I'm dropping Teresa off at this girl's house to spend the night because they're buddies, right? And then the next week it's all gone south again. And between Facebook and she's not on Facebook, between like FaceTime and these, you know, different messaging things that have been created for these kids, you know, they're harassing her on FaceTime. And she, you know, I got to hand it to my daughter. She really was like, and what created the problem was that these kids were talking shit about my wife and I, saying we were weird and we were ugly. And Teresa's like, you know, I am not going to be your friend. You are not nice. You are, that is not nice to say. And so she put her foot down. And then, of course, the reaction is that everybody gives her the cold shoulder. And, you know, I think we've all gone through it. So it's just tough. It's tough as a kid, and it's tough as a parent trying to figure out how to negotiate the right path for her because, you know, I feel like every time there's something that happens like this, there's a learning lesson. And I quickly think, what was the learning lesson when it was happening to me? And I don't really know if there was one. So not even sure if that's fair to say, but just trying to find something, right? You know, just, you know, there's like, hey, man, suck it up. It's just life. That's one route I don't want to go. And then, you know, just like, hey, you know, every day we get a little stronger. You know, she said she was crying at lunch, and then she cried at lunch. And yesterday she's like, I don't want to go to school. I'm tired of crying at lunch. So, you know, my wife and I kept her home, took her to the beach, and just tried to give her a little bit of a mental health day. Was that the right thing? I don't even know. But she's back to school today, and then one of the teachers called and said that she's aware of what's going on, and hopefully we can start to kind of come find an end to all this. But, you know, it's tough, and which has nothing to do with drinking, right? But it does have something to do with showing up after I've gotten sober and, you know, being a father. And, you know, these things, you know, and if I did kind of a fist step on it, you know, I could figure it out, but I'm not, it's not my problem. I can only be support. And like I told her, I said, you know, you will be stronger. You know, maybe you might cry a little bit today, but it won't be as long, you know. And then the next day, maybe you just won't even care. It's like, whatever, we move on. New things come in our life, new friends, and, you know, but it is fourth grade. And, but, you know, it's a lot of weird shit has been going on for me. You know, as a person who is 53, you know, I don't know what the age, typical age of a human is, but I'm guessing it's probably around 80. So to be sort of in my last half and everything that I grew up with, all my friends, all the music, the bands, you know, history, it's all getting old, you know. I saw an article yesterday about people criticizing Jon Bon Jovi because his voice, he's struggling, you know, and I can't imagine what it's like to be Jon Bon Jovi and be the singer for a band for so many years, 30 years, I would suppose, more than that, probably 40 years, and to finally feel like your instrument's kind of fading, and how do you manage that, right? And now we live in a time of social media, like everybody just destroys them on social media, so it's really tough. And to see my bands getting older, you know, I've talked about Pearl Jam, you know, Eddie Vedder, huge fan of Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam. They've been really like the music for the last 30 years of my life. And, you know, and I worry, you know, my boy Eddie, he's getting older, and, you know, I don't want to see it end, but at the same time, you know, I get it. Luckily, they're actually started their tour again, and he sounds fantastic, right? And he smokes and drinks, but he's still hanging in there. You know, he's pointing the mic to the crowd a little more, which is fine. Unfortunately, the band is now struggling with COVID. The drummer got COVID, so, which was cool because, I mean, not cool that he got COVID, but what came from it was that, you know, the band brought in a lot of different drummers. They brought in their original drummer that played on 10. He played the other night. And so they kind of had some fun with it. But now Jeff Ament, the bass player for Pearl Jam, has now come down with COVID. And they've said they've had to start canceling shows, which is, you know, which is a drag, especially when, you know, you're in your 60s. This might be, I doubt it will be their last tour. But, you know, shit, right? And, you know, the other night, I read an article about James Hetfield, who is a singer for Metallica. He's playing in Brazil. And he's another, you know, the band Metallica. I mean, we listened to Metallica when I was 14 years old. I mean, as a little kid, we were jamming to Metallica and just banging our heads and growing out our hair and drinking beers and, you know, just all to the theme of Metallica. And he played, or the band played the other night in Brazil, and he came out and said to the audience, and he said, listen, he goes, you know, I'm struggling. I don't know exactly the words, but for the most part, he's like, you know, I'm just really full of fear. I'm getting older. I feel like I can't do this anymore. I feel like I'm not going to be able to sing these songs anymore or play this music anymore. And it's really got me over a freaking barrel. And I think he was emotional. I think he might have cried. The band came out and kind of, you know, hugged him and supported him. And but my God, you know, what it's almost like doing a fucking fifth step. You know, it talks about in that fifth step. It's like, you know, you must do this in front of a human. I mean, for me, it was all I could do, just find one. But to go out in front of like 100,000 people and say, listen, man, I am afraid, I'm scared, and I just need to let you know it. And I thought that was huge, huge deal for him. I know that he's, he's a big partier, got sober, well-documented in a movie, in fact, and then well-documented that he went back out, and well-documented that he came back in and found sobriety again. And now, you know, this is that part, right? This is that fear, and, you know, it's almost like doing, you almost have to do kind of a fifth step. What am I losing? What's this going after? Ego, pride, and really get down to the nuts and bolts of it. But I just thought it was great that he, you know, shared that and, you know, really put it out there. Man, that song is from like the 80s, man, and you know, to look back and have that kind of saying exactly what he's going through. You know, what I shared in the podcast the other day, that you know, I thought it was important for me to get honest. Honest about everything. And one of them was that, you know, I miss drinking, right? I miss partying. You know, I was, like I said, I talked to my wife. She's like, I felt bad to even admit that. You know, and you know, these things that we don't admit, it doesn't mean that we are going to drink or do anything. It just means that, listen, we're real people. And I just thought it was fucking huge for James Hetfield to come out in front of 100,000 people or whatever and say, listen, man, I'm scared and it's real and I'm full of fear. And, you know, my buddy Matt used to say, listen, every time you say something out loud, it cuts it in half. Every time you say it out loud, it cuts it in half. And when I say cuts it in half, the power, the fear. You know, that's why I have to have my dad over. You know, my dad's, you know, he's 85. I have to have him over a few times a week so he can debrief his brain. Because left up to him, he will chew it and chew it and chew it and grind it and work it out and turn it into something other than not what it was intended. And until you can sit down and say it out loud and think about it and almost hear yourself say it, can you find some sort of peace? And I think, I mean, I don't know about you, but it just feels like, you know, I think we're all sort of coming through this, you know, whether you're getting old like me, you know, not only did we just come out of the weirdest fucking thing I've ever experienced, the pandemic, but I'm also getting old. You know, so there's a lot of, I think, sort of like trauma left over from this whole thing. And I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine. He's like, I'm trying to do the least amount of work as possible. Like 2 years ago, we were taking on the day. You know, 2 years ago, everything was great. And now I'm like telling my wife, quit your job. Fuck it. You know, what do we buy? Just more stuff. You know, she's taking a break from her job. We've had the best freaking time. You know, I love when my wife is not working. I love when she's around and we can hang out and do things with our kids. And that's what we've been doing. And it's been great. I told her yesterday, don't even go back. Well, what about like insurance and money and all this stuff? And I'm like, you know, will it all work out regardless? Will we figure it out? Probably. You know, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it should work out. And we are not, and it should. You know, we show up every day. You know, not that James Hetfield would ever listen to this podcast, but if he ever did, I would just like to tell James Hetfield thank you. And the whole band Metallica and their crew and everybody involved with that band that's done this for so long. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the amazing memories and times. And you know, a lot of people were, you know, because it's been posted on Instagram, you know, James Hetfield, you know, moment. And, you know, people are giving him feedback. We love you, you know, take a break. You know, it's tough. You know, support, support, support. And, you know, just thank you. James Hetfield, you are fucking awesome, and the band is awesome. But, you know, also thank you, James Hetfield, for saying that. You know, I think a lot of people right now are struggling, full of fear. Inflation is taking off. I don't know how, in God's name, we're going to pull this off. The price of everything has gone up so high. Either we stop doing anything. I mean, kind of, it's sort of, I've already found myself stopping. You know, I'm not eating at some of the restaurants that I used to do. We used to do a lot more going out. We're not doing that. Who suffers in the end? The restaurants. So what are we going to start losing all of our restaurants? I mean, it is just, it's a crazy time. And to find a place to live, there's nowhere to live. Everybody has to rent. It's just, what the hell is going on? And I think a lot of people, including myself, you know, I have a, you know, luckily we have a great job. You know, everything's pretty much good. Not a lot of worries, but you know, what's the future like? So I think everybody has fear. And I think it's important that we say it, you know, listen, I'm fucking scared. I'm afraid, and I just got to say it. You know, I'll never forget the time that my buddy Matt, you know, it was the day of him picking up the James Beard Humanitarian of the Year Award, and he called me over, and he said, let's take a walk, and we take a walk, and he says to me, he goes, you know, I just feel like they're going to figure out I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. This is something that he had in his head, and he was worried about, and he needed to share it. Come over, let's take a walk. I need to share something. And this is coming from the guy that told me, listen, if you share it, you cut the anxiety, the worry, the stress, the fear in half. And somehow, And this guy who was a humanitarian of the year, this guy who had done a ton of stuff for people, you know, and still being a human, right? Listen, he'd be the first to tell you he ain't perfect. Nobody is. But really working towards good things and being picked to be the humanitarian of the year by James Beard Foundation, that's a big damn deal. And in his head, he started talking to himself and he started feeling like he didn't know what he was doing. And if he hadn't said it, it would keep building and festering. And then God knows the behavior or what would happen afterwards. And so I just, as much as I love Metallica, I just love the fact that fucking James Hetfield said that out loud and said, listen, I'm scared and I'm full of fear and I just need to put it out there. And that's, you know, what a freaking gift that was. So, you know, good, you know, hang in there, Jimmy. Fucking rooting for your brother. And listen, you could retire today and you've left us so much great music and so many great memories. You know, we're good. But I do get it. You know, it is your gift and please do it as long as you would want to do. But, you know, don't go crazy over it. And, but yeah, so that's, but you know, this is all sort of like fifth step stuff. I mean, I'm finding, and as much as I've done the fifth step and as many times as I've worked a program and continue to, for some reason, this fifth step this time has really, I'm really hung up on it. And, you know, where it says, you know, admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. There's magic in there. There is magic. And I've said this before the other day. 12 steps, deflate ego. Who tells you you're going to fail? Ego, the devil, right? You're not going to make it. Don't do it. Never rooting for you. 12 steps, deflate ego. You know, there's nothing worse. Have you ever been in a situation where someone's told you a secret and you're like, oh, shit. And shit's fucking falling apart and you're holding on to the secret and it's fucking, you had nothing to do with it, right? You had nothing to do with it, but you're carrying this around. And it's like, until you yell it out and tell the secret, do you find peace? And that's what this fifth step is about. And, you know, I've talked about it before, you know, can we do this on the phone, right? Can we do this like confession where you can't actually make eye contact? No. You have to fucking sit in front of another human and say it out loud what your fear and anxieties are. And that's what I feel like Hetfield did yesterday or the other day, man. He kind of did a fifth step and he said, listen, he didn't break it down, right? The pride and all that stuff. But he definitely, you know, he definitely put it out there in front of people. And I bet he felt better. I bet he felt better. And when you have that kind of, when I have that kind of anxiety and stress, I don't think the same way. I don't, it's written all over my face. I do not hide that shit well. My conversations aren't the same. My attention's not the same. How I eat is not the same. None of it. It's all a mess. And, you know, to say, hey, you know, this is what I'm going through. I'm just putting it out there. And, you know, I hope nobody judged him. I hope nobody, you know, and listen, another thing is if somebody comes to you and says, listen, I've got something I want to talk to you about. You know, I know for me, that's where I have to listen. And I learned that in this program. You know, one of my shortcomings was that if you said to me something, I would turn the conversation around somehow about myself. Because that was all that I knew. I knew everything about me. I didn't care much about anything else. So it was typical for me to take a conversation. And, you know, if Matt said, hey, I'm worried that, you know, no, they're all going to figure out I don't know what the fuck I'm doing and, you know, it's a big racket. If I'd have said, yeah, I always worry about that too. You know, it's like, no. I didn't say anything. I just listened. It's almost like sometimes it isn't even a conversation. It's a confession. Right. And understanding when that's kind of slipping into sort of something like that. And I don't mean like, hey, you know, I killed somebody, but just like I'm full of fear and I'm worried and you know, it's great if we can just or I can just listen like I hear you, man, you know, or I don't even, you know, sometimes silence is even best. You know, I don't even there is no reply, but, you know, I hear what you're saying. I appreciate that. You know, it's a whole thing. And it's just one of these things. It really has nothing to do with drinking.
Donna Travers.
Oh, boy. Had to hang up on Donna Travers. Sorry, Donna. But it doesn't even, you know, it doesn't even matter, right? It's just sharing and listening, and it's a big deal. Let's see if we can maybe do, a little reading today of the daily reflections. Did another podcast this morning, a lot of fun. Discovery Music Podcast. I don't hear it. Daily Reflections. If this has something to do with this, I'm gonna be blown away. Giving without strings. May 19th. And he well knows that his own life has been made richer as an extra dividend of giving it to another without any demand of return. That's awesome. As Bill sees it, page 69. The concept of giving without strings was hard to understand when I first came into the program. I was suspicious when others wanted to help me. I thought, what do they want in return? But I soon learned the joy of helping another alcoholic, and I understood why they were there for me in the beginning. My attitudes changed, and I wanted to help others. Sometimes they became anxious, as I wanted them to know the joys of sobriety. That life can be beautiful. Well, that was dumb. Let's see. Sometimes I became anxious, as I wanted them to know the joys of sobriety, that life can be beautiful. When my life is full of a loving God of my understanding, and I give that love to my fellow alcoholics, I feel a special richness that is hard to explain. Yeah, you know, it's funny. A relationship with God, you know, there's a lot of people that do not particularly care for that or do not particularly want any of that. But I don't know if a lot of people, and I know I didn't realize in the beginning that, you know, if you're available to help somebody, you're living a life of God, whether you like it or not. I mean, to me, God is a lifestyle. God is a behavior. God is an action, not as much receiving. It's a state of mind for me. And, you know, if you're showing up for meetings, right? Because if you show up for a meeting, I remember, you know, when I first came into the program and I was like, well, I have nothing to offer. I've only been sober like minutes, right? I have nothing to offer. And the guy said, listen, if you're at this meeting and you were the only one here and another alcoholic with less time than you showed up, you're doing something. So don't count yourself short. But when I started, you know, helping, I mean, just the act of going to a meeting, you've chosen a meeting over what self would rather do. Unless it's early, I don't know, maybe self's telling you go to meetings, but, you know, as you get some time and you're doing this for a while, life gets better and you start feeling like you'd rather stay home than go to a meeting. But if you choose the meeting over staying home, you know, that's a humble position. That's like a lifestyle of God. And so I don't think we realize, or I didn't realize in the beginning how much my lifestyle was a God lifestyle than I thought. And it was freaking pretty awesome. And, you know, I'll never forget when I started coming in and I'm like, I can help people, right? I mean, this was early on, so I was, you know, digging it. But, you know, helping others with nothing in return. I'll never forget when somebody said, do something nice for somebody and don't tell anybody. That really exposed something there. Don't tell anybody what you've done. And I'm like, well, then how are they going to know? And that was the whole point. Listen, I hope everybody's having a great day. James Hetfield, hang in there, brother. We love you, love you, love you. Thank you for sharing that. Hang in there. You know, hopefully it gets better. And I hope everybody is having a great day. And we'll catch you later. Bye.